I feel like saying, be scared, be very scared. the chapter I was given today was Nehemiah 3. And when I saw it come through on email, I sent back an email to Stuart saying, are you serious? Reason being, I don't know if you've seen Nehemiah 3. It's just a long list of names and gates and things about the walls of Jerusalem. So I thought that instead of getting somebody to stand up here and read it, you were going to help me. So I prepared something.
Hello.
Hi. Okay. If you can see one of these, what you need to do is to take it and put it around your neck. And I assure you, you will all have one because I've counted how many people are here and how many of these I have. And I think we're probably going to have spares as well. So, if there's, right, somebody waving around, has anybody not got one? We're going to have to do a bit of a double up then. Some people are just going to have to be two people. So, Rehum is going free. Anybody like to be a Rehum? Thank you, Bruce. And who else have we got? Oh, we've got a few more here. Okay. Azeel? You can be Azeel as well. Benjamin? You'll be Benjamin. Thank you. Yeah, that's very good. Is that yours? Okay. Right. Have we got any missing? You better look on the backs of the chairs, just in case. There were a lot sneaking around. Okay, I think we may have got them. Oh, one left. Oh, two left, in fact. Three! Okay, I have got a hashub. Thank you. Ooh. You'll have one. There you go. You can be a Malatiah and... There we go. Righty-ho. And apparently I am all the men of Jericho. Oh well. Right, give you a bit of background. For those of you who haven't been here the last couple of weeks, Nehemiah was in exile. He heard about the news in Jerusalem that Ezra had gone back, rebuilt the temple, but there were still a lot of problems, and the people weren't doing very well. And although Ezra had started teaching them about God again, the people were in a bit of dire straits. And in fact, in chapter 1, it says, the province of Jerusalem, the people there were in great trouble and disgrace. The walls were in ruins. And as a nation, they also needed to rebuild their own self-worth and value as God's people. I don't think they knew who they were as God's children, as God's holy chosen nation. So Nehemiah is hearing about this, so he goes to the king in prayer, and he says, can I go and rebuild my walls, my town, my city? So the king lets him go, and he's off to do it. But of course, if he was doing it just by himself, it would probably take quite a number of years longer than it did. And as you will see, he had a lot of people to help him. So... let's have a look. The city was not protected without its walls. The people were scattered. A bit like we are here today. Everybody's not in a nice little group. We're kind of scattered all over. That's partly to do with the fact that there aren't many people here today. That's okay. They're scattered elsewhere. And there was a lot of integration as well. God had told them to be holy and chosen them and had given them laws, but they were mixing with the other nations and there were problems coming up. They were starting to go astray and walk away from God. So the walls are a major thing to bring back unity. And the vision is not just for one man. The vision is for the whole nation. If one person's got a vision, there's not much good in that, because they need other people to help them carry the vision and to see it through to completion. So God is calling a people. I shall read through Nehemiah 3 now, and we can help. This is going to be a bit of a dramatic reading. I'm not going to ask you to do any actions or anything, but when I read your name, I wonder if you might just come and stand. Well, hopefully, I hope that we can fit around, is to make a circle around this main one, and we'll see the walls being rebuilt. Okay. So, first person, Eliashib, the high priest. He's the starter. And his priests. Now, I know there are three people with priests. I just need one of them so far. So, yes, go for it. So, Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. Bet you're glad you're not reading this. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zakur, son of Imri. Have we got a Zakur, son of Imri here? Thank you very much. Would you like to stand next to me? Built next to them. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hasanah. Here they come. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakoz, repaired the next section. Next to him, Meshulam, son of Berechiah, the son of Meshazabel, made repairs. And next to him, Zadok, or Zadok, son of Baana, also made repairs. Well done. Let's start taking the circle around a bit. There we go. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa. Oh, let's just have one for the moment. We'll have more men of Tekoa later on. But their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. Oh dear. The Jehanah gate was repaired by Joiada. Thank you. Son of Paseah, and Meshulam, son of Besadeah. Oh, we need to continue the circle round, though, because the wall's going that way. Well done. Okay, where did I get to? They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Next to them, repairs were made by men from Gibeon and Mizpah. Melatiah of Gibeon. Melatiah of Gibeon. Well done. And Jadon of Meronoth. Places under the authority of the governor of Trans-Euphrates. Uzziel, son of Harhiah, one of the goldsmiths. Oh, he's there, Uzziel. Right, I wonder if, tell you what, I'll split you in two. Yes, that's a very good idea. Can we pass Uzziel up to the end? And Ruth, if you wouldn't mind. Thank you. Righty-ho. The problem with this is I always lose my place because there's so many names. I'm trying to find them again. We've got to Uzziel. Son of Harhiah, one of the goldsmiths. That's interesting, isn't it? A goldsmith building a wall. How strange. He repaired the next section. And Hananiah, one of the perfume makers. A perfume maker? You're not, but Hananiah is. Hananiah, one of the perfume makers, made repairs next to that. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Rephaiah, son of Hur, ruler of a half district of Jerusalem, Wow, a ruler also helped. We've got a goldsmith, a perfume maker, and a ruler of a district. This vision's going quite a long way already. He prepared the next section, and then adjoining this, Jediah, son of Haramath, made repairs opposite his house. Well, he must have been able to see the ruin, so he got up and did something about it. And Hattush, son of Hashabneah, made repairs next to him. Hello, Hattush. Malkiah, son of Harim, and Hashub, son of Pahath-Moab. Oh, no, we've got a Hashub, son of Pahath-Moab. You're a different Hashub, sorry. righty-ho. Yep. They repaired another section, and the Tower of the Ovens. I guess they like cooking, maybe? I don't know. Shalom, son of Halohesh. Do we have a Shalom? Well done. Ruler of a half-district of Jerusalem, another ruler coming into the vision, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. Where are the daughters? Well done. You see, even women can get up and repair a wall. Bet you didn't know that. The valley gate was repaired by Hanan and the residents of Zanoah. Shall we take Hanan to the residence? Well done. Oh, we've got two Hanans. We'll have another one in a minute. Okay. They rebuilt it and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. They also repaired 500 yards of the wall as far as the dung gate. Do not ask me what the dung gate represents. I do not know. The dung gate was repaired by Malkiah, son of Rechab. And ruler of the district of Beth Hakarem, he rebuilt it and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. The fountain gate was repaired by Shalun, son of Kolhoseh, ruler of the district of Mizpah. He rebuilt it, roofing it over and putting its doors and bolts and bars in place. He also repaired the wall of the Pool of Siloam by the king's garden as far as the steps going down from the city of David. Beyond him, Nehemiah, son of Azbuk. Do we have a Nehemiah, son of Azbuk? That's the one. Ruler of a half-district of Beth-Zur made repairs up to a point opposite the tombs of David, as far as the artificial pool and the house of the heroes. Next to him, the repairs were made by the Levites, under Rehum, son of Bani. Do we have Rehum and the Levites together? Thank you very much. And beside him, Hashabiah, ruler of half the district of Keilah, carried out repairs for his district. Next to him, the repairs were made by their countrymen under Binui, son of Henadad. There is a Binui, son of Henadad in specific... No, it is you. Don't worry. I remember, Binui does a lot of work. He's very, very zealous. Yes. Ruler of the other half-district of Keilah. Next to him, Ezer, son of Jeshua, ruler of Mizpah, repaired another section. From a point facing the ascent to the armory as far as the angle. Next to him, Barak, son of Zabai, zealously repaired another section. From the angle to the entrance of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. Almost getting back to your house. Righty-ho. Next to him, Meremoth, son of Uriah. Now, where is Meremoth gone? I know he's standing up already, isn't he? You've done a bit more work. Sorry, you've got to go up there now. He repaired another section, and then the repairs next to him were made by priests. Do we have some priests? Thank you. And beyond them, Benjamin. Funny enough, that works. And Hashub. Where's the other Hashub? Oh, lovely. They made repairs in front of their house. You didn't have to go very far, did you? No, that's good. And next to them, Azariah, son of Maaseiah, the son of Ananiah, made repairs beyond his house. And next to him, Binui, son of Henadad, well done, repaired another section from Azariah's house to the angle around the corner. And Palal, son of Uzai, worked opposite the angle and the tower projecting from the upper palace near the court of the guard. Next to him, Pedaiah, son of Parosh, and the temple servants, living on the hill of Ophel, made repairs up to a point opposite the water gate towards the east and the projecting tower. Next to them, the men of Tekoa. Men of Tekoa. Well done. Repaired another section. Above the horse gate, the priests made repairs. Any more priests? Each in front of his own house. Next to them, Zadok, son of Immer, made repairs. Opposite his house. Next to him, Shemaiah, son of Shechaniah, the guard at the east gate, made repairs. Thank you. Well done. And next to him, Hananiah, son of Shelemiah, and Hanan, the sixth son of Zalaph, repaired another section. Next to them, Meshulam, son of Berechiah. Have we heard of Meshulam, son of Berechiah? There we go. Brilliant, getting there. Made repairs. And next to him, Malkiah, one of the goldsmiths. It's all right. It's not that one. It's actually you. Yes. Made repairs as far as the house of the temple servants and the merchants, opposite the inspection gate, and as far as the room above the corner, and between the room above the corner. You're doing a lot of work. And the sheep gate. The goldsmiths. The actual goldsmiths. And the merchants. Repaired the last little bit. And that completes the wall of Jerusalem. Right, where am I? Well done. I think we've used up the whole of the church now. Put your hands together. This is where you stick it over your neck. I just have to pretend. Okay. This is the wall of Jerusalem. This is the nation together, standing. Each rebuilt a bit of his own. He did what he could do, or what she could do, daughters of Shalom. Whether they were perfume makers, or goldsmiths, or merchants, or priests. Priests dedicated to serve in the temple, you normally wouldn't see them digging in the dirt, making bricks or stones, lofting them up onto a wall. But they did it because they believed in something. Nehemiah brought a vision from God to them, and they took on that vision. And this, for me, is a picture of our church. That when we take on a vision together, we are strong. We are joined together. Let's not leave somebody out. Let's join hands there as well. The vision is for everybody, and there's a real strength in unity. Just a question for you, does anybody, can anybody else tell me what else it brings, building together? Are there any other things, just a bit of interaction here, what do you reckon?
Gives a feeling of being a team when you're working together. Relationships that are based on a mutual interest.
You can't do the work on one's own. You need, I mean, it's like however many we are can do far better than each individual working on its own. You've got to be working together as Sally had said.
Anything else?
Talking about strength. Yes. But talking about strength. And we all gather together in this beloved church. We are all one in the name of the Lord, every one of us. So it makes us all strong individually.
Peter, you had something?
Yeah, sense of achievement. And the people building the wall must have, when they'd finished it and looked, and Jerusalem surrounded with walls again, it must have been fantastically satisfying, and you know, they must have had a real sense of enjoyment. I bet they had a fantastic party.
Absolutely. Anything else?
We have the same belief. We have faith. If I don't believe the vision, then maybe I will not join to build the church again.
So somebody.
The wall was built for protection, and if we all work and build together, there will be protection for vulnerable people.
Amen. I was just thinking with the perfume makers building and the goldsmiths building that, you know, in church it's not always doing the thing that you're best at, but sometimes it's kind of stepping in to do jobs that need doing.
As we're building this church, can we each say our own names?
Let's do this. Let's go around. Say our names.
So Pam,
Vicky,
Eamon,
Philippe,
Bruce,
Graham,
Terry,
Peter,
Ben,
Gunnard,
Margaret,
Narelle,
Muriel,
Jennifer,
Francis,
Neil,
Margaret,
Alec,
David,
Hazel,
Natalia,
Peggy,
Elvin,
Harrod,
Sarah,
Reese,
Al,
Anna.
Pete.
Ivan. Jean.
Sally.
Ruth.
Dave.
Wendy.
Ruth.
Stephen.
Sarah.
Irene.
Ali.
Lucy.
Thank you, Pam. Praise God. I think it would be good as an act of unity as well, since we are standing here together, that maybe we could say the Our Father together as an act of unity, because he is our Father, the one for all of us. So, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Please do find your seats again, or sit in the circle, however you like. Okay, I just got a couple of more little things to conclude. Thank you so much for taking part and helping me build the wall. We can't do it by ourselves, as Alex said. And if you have a vision, do go to somebody, go to one of the church leaders and talk through it with them. And ask for help. The title of this today is Enlist the Help of Others. And from my own perspective, I'm just in the middle of moving house. And I know that I couldn't do it without the help of people. And also getting a new job. And it's just been amazing how generous people have been in what they've given me for the house, in the help that they've offered. And it just really shows the church standing together. So I just want to encourage you. Don't take this as making you feel bad. I do not want you to feel bad. I want to encourage you and to say thank you because it's when you see what you can do, however big or small it may seem to you, if you do that, what God gives you in front of you, then you're fulfilling what he's asking you to do. Whether there might be somebody over the other side who's doing a different kind of work, maybe somebody's working with homeless people. For me, I find that hard. But there is somebody else who's got a calling for it, and he's doing that. And that's what God has given them. And God has given me something else. And no matter, as I say, how big or small it might be, if God is asking you to do something, when you fulfill that and you work with others to fulfill the vision of the whole, there's a real sense of achievement, and God is in it. And a nation is only as strong as its people, and without the people, you have no nation. Likewise, the church is only as strong as its members. Without the people, there is no church. And even Jesus knew what it was like to need other people around him. He chose his 12 disciples, and he asked them to pray for him. And he was strong, but he also needed them, I believe. And as he taught us, we are the body of Christ. When one member is hurting, we all hurt, but we can also be a strength for everyone. So the body standing together in a unity of vision, working together, each doing what it can, is a strong body. We can be a strong church in that way. So just a question for you, what has God asked you to do? Going to spend a couple of minutes thinking about that. Maybe you're already doing it, and maybe you're already fulfilling that, but maybe there's something that's been niggling at the back of your mind. God is saying, this is your part to play in building up my church, as Nehemiah and all the people built up the walls and had their part. Maybe you have a part. So we're just going to spend just a couple of minutes just thinking. And then we'll hand over to Anna.